Have you ever seen an unexplained light in the sky? Could aliens really be flying around, watching and waiting? What if you were forced to produce a human-alien hybrid? Today, we test the believability of the abduction of Antonio Villas-Boas.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. We are back to square one, essentially. We're back to the aliens.
Oh man, I love aliens.
We hit our conspiracies, we hit our cryptids, we hit our like big urban legend things. Now we're back to aliens.
Man, I want to join an alien thing.
An alien thing?
Like MUFON or something like that.
Okay.
Actually, I've looked into it before.
Is there like an application fee?
Oh, yes. There's a fee for anything. You have to go to the bathroom, there's a fee. There's a fee for breathing. Like, they're hungry for your money.
Well, I wonder what do they do with it? They're like, all right, our pictures are too clear. We need something to make it look a little grainier.
Their alimony and child support. That's what they do.
Okay. So, okay, let me ask you this. When I say abduction story, what do you think of?
A person being taken.
No, I mean like a famous story.
Oh, Betty Barney Hill.
Right. That is, I would say, well, that's American. That's probably the most famous American abduction story. But this one actually takes place 4 years prior, about 4 years, not in America. So, hope everyone...
Doesn't really count then.
I think to this gentleman, it absolutely counts. But to us, no, not really. So, I hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone
obviously
is
we're kidding.
Having, yeah, exactly. Well... So, join me here as we go to Brazil. And not only are we going to Brazil, it is October 1957. Literally the month and year my mom was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Not in Brazil, though. She was born in, I think it was Yugoslavia at the time. Anyway.
I wanted to go to... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to go to Brazil when they had the Olympics there.
What year was that?
2016. Just happened.
I don't follow.
I know you don't, but I do, and I love the Olympics, and it was a lot of fun.
Okay. I didn't watch. Anyway, so it is Brazil. It is 1957. And we are going to follow a young 23-year-old. I'm going to say his name again and I'm going to nail it. It's going to be awesome. Antonio Villas-Boas. You can account that I've been practicing his name all day.
You've been saying it every other 5 minutes.
Right. So for the rest of this story, it is now just good old Antonio.
It was good, though. You got it that two times.
Yeah, I got it twice. You know, two in and two out. I'm good. So Antonio is plowing his farm. Now,
it's not always plowing.
We'll get there.
Okay.
He's a hard worker, but above that, he's a smart worker. So to avoid the hot, hot temperatures of the Brazilian days, he plows his fields at night. I feel like this is something I would do. You know what I mean? It's kind of like it's cooler. I like being out at night. Maybe he felt the same way.
It's a good idea.
Hopefully he had a flashlight.
Probably some kind of light. A lantern.
He wakes up. He's like, oh, shit. Did I do that? But this night, it wasn't the smartest decision, unfortunately. So while he's in the field plowing, he looks up and he sees what he thinks is a red star. Far away red star.
Isn't that Mars?
No, that's a planet.
Oh, okay.
Stars are suns, Charlie.
I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah, now you know. So he's looking up. He's mesmerized by this red star. But it gets stranger. The red star gets brighter and bigger and closer. As it's getting closer and closer, this bright red light on the front of it is shining down on him, and it has this rotating dome on top of it. They used a different word for dome. I looked it up. It meant dome, so I'm saying dome, so you guys don't have to look it up. It extends its three legs at the bottom of the craft, and it lands. So Antonio, and I'm just projecting here, but he goes, this. And he jumps on that tractor, and he tries to ride away like a boss. But the tractor's lights and engine die after going a short distance, which I believe this lends itself to kind of like the mythology or the theory that aliens kind of disrupt the energy field and technology, right? Like, you've heard that.
Yeah. Oh, man. How fast do you think the tractor's going?
I mean, like 25, maybe.
That fast, even?
30, 15?
Like 5 miles away. 5 miles an hour, just going, dur, 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 dur.
Yeah, and it got probably like maybe 30 feet, and it's just like
Yeah.
Oh, man. What if they would have died anyways? And, I mean, he wouldn't be able to plow his field anyway. So maybe this made his night better. So he jumps off the tractor and he starts running like I think anybody would do. And he's seized by this 5-foot-tall humanoid alien creature that's wearing gray overalls and a helmet.
It's 5 foot tall?
It's the comparison. It's the alien farmer wearing overalls, getting the human farmer in, I don't know what he was
wearing.
That's
shorter than me.
Oh, that's very short. Shorter than Jack Black, shorter than Kevin Hart. It's very short.
But he picked him up?
Grabbed him. Oh, so whatever they lack in height, I guess they make up for in the gym. They're doing the bro team. And he noticed that the humanoid's eyes were tiny and blue. And the noises that came out of these aliens sounded kind of like a dog yelping, barking. Not that you would probably expect normal language to come out, but...
It's still creepy, though.
Yeah, just kind of like yelping. So, as he was kind of wrangling with the 1 5-foot alien, three more came out, ganged up on him, and they dragged Antonio to the craft, and they took off.
And he's yelling the whole time, like, oh, mio! Oh, no!
That sounded Italian.
He's like waxing his mustache. No!
He did have a mustache.
Yeah, I know.
So once Antonio was inside the craft, the aliens stripped him of his clothes, and then they proceeded to just coat his entire body in this strange gel substance.
He liked it.
I know, he's like, you missed a spot. It was like an old person getting a bath in like a tub. So then he was brought into this large semicircle room with weird red symbols. And inside this room, the alien started taking blood samples from his chin. Kind of an odd place to get blood from, right?
Are there veins in your chin?
I don't think they were going for veins. I think it was just like drawing blood, like a cut and then
That's
getting
so
blood.
Weird.
It's like they look at his whole body and they're just like, let's go for the chin.
All right, continue.
Maybe because they have really, really tiny pointy chins, so maybe they were jelly. Or maybe it was, like, unknown to them. Like, they had arms, they had a head, they had legs. And maybe they saw a human chin and, like, well, that's weird. Let's get whatever's inside there. It's like, bro, it's just his chin.
That is a weird extraction point.
So once they took several samples of his chin blood, they took him to another room where he was left alone for what he assumes was 30 minutes. Now, I imagine... This, like, when things crazy like this happen, I feel like either time massively slows down or things fly by. So I don't know. No, I believe everything. But the 30 minutes, I'm a little on the fence. You know, I don't know how accurately he could guess that. But anyway, he said it felt like 30 minutes. It's kind of like quite the treatment. You know, he's getting a tour, a little jelly bath, little alien Red Cross.
Taking his blood out.
But it's not done yet. After 30 minutes was up. In his mind, a strange gas was pumped into the room, and Antonio started choking and becoming incredibly sick.
Like, vomiting sick?
Didn't say that he vomited. I imagine coughing. Kind of like if you've ever been in a room where there's, like, gas. Like, if you were, like, moving a house you were renting, and you thought it was a fan, but it wasn't a fan, it was an air purifier, but you weren't told that, so you were moving stuff out, and then you started choking, and then you had to run outside. That never happened to you?
No.
Good times. Anyway... Shortly after the gas had been shut off, after the valve had been closed, a female alien entered the room, and she was described as incredibly attractive, naked, with platinum long blonde hair and fiery red pubic hair.
Sure.
He took notes. Mental, maybe physical.
Yeah, it's the love of his life now, Tyler said.
Right.
Yeah.
So she also had a tiny pointed chin and blue cat-like eyes. So, despite the strange circumstance, despite the fact he's in space, he was just covered in gel, no one knows what's happening to his farm, his tractor's dead, he's still a man. Antonio is still
he's
a 23.
Dude. He's
23. He's 23, so he's, you know, he's working on that thing.
What's it called? Vertile.
Yeah. He's
is that right?
I don't...
Visceral? Some of the V. He was ready for it, is what I'm trying to say.
He was ready. He was working on that thing. You know, he probably had a couple pickup lines in his toolkit. So, naturally, he had sex with her. You know, when you're up in space and you see a blonde-haired alien chick, you know, what is he supposed to do, right?
As long as she didn't say, no, as long as she said yes, consent.
In a serious fashion, she initiated.
Oh, well, what else are you going to do?
Right, is he going to say no?
Right.
But he made note that during the space sex, she didn't kiss him, but she would nip at his chin. So I don't know what it is with chins. Maybe it's just because theirs are so small and pointy, and they see a big man chin. They're like, I like that.
Maybe she's just impressed.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it is a callback to the blood getting taken from the chin.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So there's a callback there. So when they were done, the female alien made two exaggerated motions. She rubbed her belly, and then she pointed up at the sky. So the way that Antonio interpreted this, like the impression that he got, was, I'm going to raise our child in space. Like, the purpose of this encounter was for me to get a human-alien hybrid, and I'm going to raise it, and you can pay me the child support every Thursday.
See, what I got was, hungry, gotta go find something.
That's what you thought?
Yeah.
He interpreted it as, I'm taking our child up, thank you for, you know, your service. But really, all I heard was bark, bark, woof, woof, you know what I mean? He didn't.
Oh, that's so creepy, though.
Yeah. Do you think aliens studied sex? Human sex? I mean, maybe it just happened to be the perfect race where they reproduced the same way that humans did. I mean, this is the 50s, so it's not like there was internet for them to do proper research.
No, but there's books.
Excuse me. What is that? That one book that's like the
Kama Sutra?
Yeah, they picked up a copy of that and they were like, I could do this.
Well, I mean, do I think it was perfect anatomical fit? No, I don't. I don't think so. I think it's probably some kind of device.
Yeah, those are the details we really wanted. Did it fit, Antonio? Now we're just getting crude.
Well, I just mean like
space condom.
No, I don't think there's any condom, but I think
clearly not if they're trying to get a child.
Right, exactly. Spoilers, that's how you make a baby. I think it was probably not, I don't know, like I don't want to say it was a fake person or a fake alien that was basically a sex doll. I don't think that's right.
Just to collect the sperm as like a sperm donor?
Kinda, yeah, maybe something like that. Like, I don't think it would have grown like that.
You don't think my dude Antonio could tell whether it was a living, organic alien? I'm offended for him. So, let me ask you this. Let me take another quick pause here. Let's go back to the gas.
Okay.
The gas does, because I have a couple theories about that. One, it could have been used as, like, what if it was, like, an aphrodisiac? Or, like, a hormone thing? Like maybe if they were worried that he wouldn't be in the mood, so this gas kind of pumped up his hormones. But also, at the same time, what if it was, like, a disinfectant? Like, if you sprayed some, like, I was kind of telling you about the air purifier thing in my house I used to rent. What if they were disinfecting him, and that was what got in his lungs and started making him sick?
What if it was a hallucinogenic?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, we don't know what the gas was.
It could have been all three.
The ultimate gas.
Like Lysol, but
space Lysol.
Yeah.
Pointy chin Lysol. The aliens figured the least that they could do was give him another tour of the spaceship that his child would be growing up in. I really is the least they could do. That's a joke, but they did give Antonio a tour of the ship. Apparently, during this tour, when he's walking around the spaceship, he tried to steal a clock-like device. Because he's a forward-thinking man. He was already like, nobody's going to believe this shit unless I grab this clock-like device and show people. But they caught him, and they were like, don't do that.
He said, oh.
They were like, bark, bark, put it down. Bark, bark. And he was like, all right. But really, that is kind of self-aware. I don't know if in that moment I would think of that, getting something to show people.
He's still nude? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah. Would you want to stay in space with, like, your space girlfriend? I mean, think about it. The alternative is going back to Earth and plowing fields.
I got an Earth wife. Oh, you mean, like, if I wasn't...
If you were a 23-year-old Antonio via
Polis. Yeah, I'd stay in space. I'm like, don't take me back.
Well, that's what they did.
Oh.
So they brought him back. They kicked him off. Yeah, they escorted him off the ship. They said, thanks to the kid. Bark, bark, f*** off. So he was left in his field, and he claims that 4 hours had passed. Maybe he just likes clocks and time.
Maybe.
Thinking about 30 minutes, he's trying to steal a space clock. Maybe the first thing he did was go check and see how much time had passed. It'd been 4 hours. Imagine, like, if he had a boss, like, the next morning. Because, I mean, the fields did not get plowed. And, like, sorry, like, I was going to do it, but then I had SpaceX.
I don't know how you even explain that.
If I had this clock, then you would believe me that I had SpaceX. But I don't have the clock. They said, bark, bark, no.
I got in trouble.
Yeah. Do you have a parenting book I can borrow? So that was that. Eventually, Antonio left the fields and joined the legal field as a lawyer. He married, he had 4 children, although I'd like to say he had 5. And until his death in the early 1990s, he literally stuck by this story. Like, he never wavered. He never said, ah, gotcha. He stuck by this. Like, this story happened. This is 100% truth. Imagine, like, the bedtime stories he told his human children. Like, you cheated on mom with a space hoe?
Well, it's not cheating. They weren't together yet.
I didn't meet your mom yet. Bark.
And he practiced.
Bark, bark, bruh.
He practiced law? Imagine having that as a lawyer.
That'd be kind of cool, actually. Like, if he can convince people he was abducted, I think he can convince this person that I'm not at fault.
Like, okay, so, like, you have a client. He's on death row. Or he's gonna get a death sentence if you lose. Your lawyer comes in. It's the guy who claims he was abducted and had sex with an alien.
I think if he could convince people that's true, he can get me out of here, right?
Oh, man.
That's his pitch.
You gotta start writing your will at that point.
So let's get into some of this skepticism. Naturally, people aren't just immediately accepting of the fact that somebody was abducted by aliens, even in the 50s. So, American researcher Peter Rogerson, if he got a vote at the end of this episode, he would say, unbelievable. He argued that an article about alien abduction appeared in this super popular magazine, and that's actually what sparked Antonio's story. In 1957, same year, a Brazilian writer with the last name Martins, I'm not going to say his first name because I'm on a good roll here, penned the first installment of this series called Flying Saucers Terrible Mission in this magazine called, the O Cruzeiro? Let's say that. The O Cruzeiro. What is the O Cruzeiro? The O Cruzeiro was this Brazilian magazine. It was published in Rio de Janeiro from 1928 to 1985. And apparently, Antonio even reached out to the O Cruzeiro because the writer wanted people who had their own personal stories to kind of come. Kind of like a podcast. So Rogerson, the skeptic, noted that Antonio's story only started to gain popularity in 1958 after he kind of had this connection with this writer in this magazine, this very popular Brazilian magazine. So it kind of seemed like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was kind of like perfect timing, but also a little fishy.
Yeah, like some people say the same thing about the Warrens and the Amityville Horror House.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like too convenient time-wise.
Too good to be true.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that story is good, but you know what I mean.
I mean, he didn't have a bad time.
Right, because a lot of people were like, no, some peasant Brazilian farmer wouldn't be able to read this magazine and then come up with his own idea. Like, it was kind of like, the idea of him as a Brazilian farmer, peasant, was kind of like, he doesn't have the IQ to come up with something like that. But as you could see by the fact that he became a lawyer, he actually was well-read and educated. Not that that goes against him. I mean, good for Antonio. I'm just saying that was one of the rebuttals to the Peter Rogerson, the skeptics thing. It's like, oh, he couldn't do that. But in fact, he could. So how does that sway you? Does it seem suspicious? Does it seem like that the American researcher Peter Rogerson might have some credit here to be skeptic? Or how do you feel as of this moment?
I think it's hard to believe someone that with a story like that 100%. So I understand why he's skeptical, but also I can't fathom why he would make up the story.
Just to be famous, right? Just to get popular.
So he just made up a story and sent it in.
Well, it's I'm trying to think of like an example. It'd be like if this very popular magazine put a story about a hollow earth, and then you're like, I want to jump on this while it's hot. So I'm going to tell people now that I went in this cave and I saw Hollow Earth. And then you reach out to that magazine and all of a sudden you are one of the first stories tied to Hollow Earth. You know what I'm saying? It's like that.
I guess I could see it, but yes.
Okay. Now let's flip the tables back to Antonio's side, because let's talk about Antonio's ailments. So despite the suspicion, there were some very drastic physical changes that Antonio suffered from after his abduction. And these include nausea, weakness, headaches. Does this feel like I'm an infomercial? Pain throughout the entire body, constant burning sensations in his eyes, and skin lesions that occurred at the slightest amount of bruising that hardened and produced a watery yellow discharge.
For how long?
Months.
Oh, okay.
Months. Not the rest of his life. Months.
So did they document that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll get there. Antonio eventually met up with Dr. Fontes. He met up with Dr. Fontes of the National School of Medicine of Brazil. So this is legit. Like, this guy's legit. But Dr. Fontes was also involved with the American UFO Research Group, APRO. So it's a little here, a little there, little background information. APRO, which is very apropos for all these acronyms I'm about to smack you all in the face with, stands for Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. So APRO started in January of 1952 by Jim and Coral Lorenzen, Coral, or as, you know, Corral, however you want to say it. After the 1960s, APRO is based in Arizona, which makes sense because of all the UFO activity in the southwestern United States. Eventually, a group from APRO created their own group known as the Midwest UFO Network, which became
MUFON,
the Mutual UFO Network. So, okay, enough of the acronyms. So what did Dr. Fontes conclude?
I don't know. Can you tell me?
He discovered that Antonio had been exposed to a large dose of radiation from some source and was now suffering from mild radiation poisoning or sickness.
Was it in the goop?
It was in the jelly goop. Oh, or it could have been that gas, right?
I don't know. Probably just from the ship in general. If I really had to guess the source.
Space? The atmosphere?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so what causes radiation poisoning in the real world? Or what is it?
Radiation, when you have too much radiation.
So what is radiation poisoning? According to WebMD, radiation sickness happens when a large dose of high-energy radiation goes through your body and reaches your internal organs. It takes more than you might get from any medical treatment to cause it. So when they're like, you know, you're getting x-rays or something and you got to put that like metal plate when they used to do that. Like, it, you know, CT scans, not that. Like, this is serious. This is like the people who were there for the atomic bombings in Japan. Like
their face is melting.
Yeah, your face is melted. You might have radiation poisoning. But also like Chernobyl, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So the most common sources of even mild radiation poisoning include like an accident at a nuclear industrial facility, any type of detonation of a small radioactive device, detonation of a standard nuclear weapon. It's pretty, either even on a small term, like a nuclear plant blowing up or like the atom bomb. It's kind of big things. It's not hidden. It's not like something you would trip on and fall on in your fields in Brazil while you're plowing.
It's not like you're going to like stumble onto a stick of plutonium that's glowing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So a real doctor concluded this, but at the same time, he did have ties to a UFO research group. So
his ethnicity.
Ethnicity?
Nope, wrong word. Ethics are compromised.
Potentially.
Ethnicity.
Okay, so let's play devil's advocate one more time. So he did have the lesions.
Yes.
Let's say the radiation isn't true, because that definitely lends itself to this dude going out in space or something happening on that spaceship. So let's take a little bit more of a look at skin lesions. A skin lesion can include a rash, cyst, pus-filled sacs, blistered, swelling, discolorations, bumps, anything like that.
Stop, you're turning me on.
Sorry. It can be as harmless as a scrape or, you know, as serious as, you know, skin cancer. A bully, it's not spelled the way you would spell bully, B-U-L-L-A. It's a fluid-filled sac or lesion appears when fluid is trapped under a thin layer of your skin. So what are the common causes for these type of skin lesions? It could be allergic reactions. It could be friction, viruses, chemical burns, frostbite, overall trauma to the skin. The two that kind of jump out to me, which one lends itself, actually both of them, the two that would lend themselves to his actual story. Like, let's say they got the irradiation wrong. Frostbite could be something. He doesn't mention being cold, but going up in space could be one thing, but also the chemical burns. Like the lesions could be whatever gas, or even the gel. Maybe the gel didn't burn at the time, but it really could have been chemical burns. But then at what point, if it's true, it's true. So I imagine if I'm going to believe this, I might as well believe the radiation poisoning sickness.
Could be both.
Right. There's many things that could cause lesions. Obviously, allergic reaction or virus is possible, and maybe that could have happened, I guess, at his farm. But even like one of the other things that he was experiencing that we kind of glossed over is his eyes were continually burning. Like, it didn't say how long that was happening. Like, the lesions I read were happening for months, but his eyes were just continually burning. That sounds like the gas thing he was talking about.
When that happens, I gotta take my contacts out.
Me too. But he just rips his eyes out. He's like, enough of this. So that is the story of the abduction of Antonio Vias Boas. So let's discuss it a little bit further. So I already know going into this that you are a very strong believer in aliens. Probably, maybe out of all the topics we touch on, this is probably the one you probably lean the most believable. But we're not looking at aliens in general. We're looking at this one specific story, Antonio's story. And, I mean, there's a lot of facets, man. Like, he's very descriptive in what he experienced. And he does come back with ailments. But there is also the factor that he could be basing a story on a popular magazine that was happening at the same time. And the person that's crediting his ailments kind of lends himself to UFO research, too. So where are you landing with all this information?
Well, I would love to know the story, like the contents of the story.
I just told you the story, bro. Weren't you listening?
Is it the same thing?
What? I just told you his story.
No, not Antonio's story. The magazine story.
Oh, okay.
I would love to know that. Are you listening? Yes. I would like the contents of the magazine story. Like, I wonder how...
how much they perfectly line up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it was just like a story about aliens or if it was an abduction thing. If it was abduction, that would kind of be a little fishy, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But the details after he's abducted is what really is striking to me.
I wonder how often he thought about his potential alien human child. Because, I mean, he lived until the 90s, so that's 40 years. So this alien-human hybrid up there could be 40-some years old. It's hitting its midlife crisis. It's got like the hottest... bright red spaceship.
For me, it rings true, honestly. But, I mean, I'm also biased. I'll admit that.
Because you believe in the alien abductions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting because when I always thought about alien abductions, which I'm sure this will be an episode, the Betty and Barney Hill story. But then this one is just like, apparently predates, well, I mean, it does predate it. It's just very interesting.
I really do think because it was from another country, it didn't.
Right, right.
Yeah, it didn't come here.
And maybe it's probably as popular, it's just not as popular in our culture.
That very well may be. Yeah, that very well may be.
It's just so much. The gel, the gas, having sex with this female alien, perfectly describing her. Apparently, those red symbols that were in that semicircular room, he can still perfectly tell you exactly what they were.
Well, not now.
Well, he's dead now.
Yeah, exactly.
When he wasn't dead, he could perfectly remember them.
That's really cool. I can't remember the symbols from Skyrim, so I don't know how you could do that.
Maybe Skyrim didn't have as much of an impact on you as this abduction did.
I don't know. Skyrim's pretty deep in my consciousness.
Pretty big, bro. Pretty big. So I'm just going to ask, are you giving it the believable?
I give it believable.
Man, it's so detailed, but the timing, man. But what else could have happened? How else could he have gotten those chemical burns or the radiation poisoning?
Well, okay.
Unless that was a lie. Unless the doctor covered it for him to...
That could be. Well, he works on a farm, right?
Yes.
There's chemicals on farms.
Yeah, they spray stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, probably somebody who actually does farm stuff is listening to this entire episode. It's like, these guys have no idea what happens on a farm.
I have no clue.
You like milk cows and stuff. We get it. Okay, person who's listening from Nebraska, we get it.
Yeah, cheese is important, but listen.
Yeah, listen.
Don't they burn, like, can't, like, manure burn you? I'm going to pass. I'm going to take a hard pass.
Yeah, maybe just cut that. I'm going to go viable, which feels a little weak on my part. It's just, I can't fully buy it. I can't.
Just because of the timing and the accreditation of the doctor?
Yeah. I believe, I don't want to talk myself into it. I believe he experienced do I really believe nothing happened? But I guess that wouldn't be viable, right?
What, you took like a 4-hour break and wrote a story?
he was reading that magazine during that 4-hour break. Yeah, he's like, this is good stuff.
Me too.
He was just very, very turned on while reading it. He's like, I'd like to have a space chick. That blonde hair. Yeah, I'm gonna say viable. Although it is a very intricate story. And I do believe in aliens. I always do this to myself because, you know, let me be honest here. I go into these episodes not making up my mind yet. I fully anticipate making up my mind during the episode, but sometimes I just teeter and totter and it just feels so iffy.
Not every alien story has to be true.
That's true, but this is kind of like a granddaddy one.
That also does not mean it has to be true.
Okay, viable.
Thank you guys again for listening to this episode. That I'm glad Tyler did. It was near to my heart to aliens, and it makes me happy. I hope it made you guys happy, too.
It felt good to get back to aliens. It really feels full circle at this point, even though it's not like we're done or anything.
Yeah, no, this is episode 14, 15?
15.
15.
This is 15, yeah.
It's hard to keep count.
When you got so many. 15. I know, so right? many. So many episodes.
But
so
it's nice time to get back to aliens. Aliens. Although this is your second story from South America.
Is that true?
It is true.
Okay, yes. I don't do geometry. Not geometry. I don't do geography. I don't do any of those geos.
Oh.
I know. You know what? Can I get myself a pat on the back? Because I'm doing stuff like Antonio Villas Boas and La Paxualita, and you're like, Mothman. On the nameless horror. I'm over here putting hard words out of my mouth.
Yes, yes. Congratulations, Tyler.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. So again, thank you all so much for listening. We hope you're enjoying. We appreciate all the engagement, the sharing, the reviewing. Remember, for the 5% of you that aren't listening on Spotify, if you could leave us an Apple review, it would really help us be found by other people. But if not, more than anything, we absolutely appreciate that you're listening. So seriously, thank you for that.
Yeah, the engagement is, I don't want to say incredible. I feel like we've said incredible the last 7 times.
Awesome.
It's
dope.
Beyond imagination.
Fantastic.
Yes, all those things.
So, thank you so much, and catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.